Daily Dribble.
And welcome back to the Daily Dribble podcast, guys. As always, I'm your host, Nick Zammit, here back fit and firing after our minor hiccup last week, ready to record alongside me, Mr. Roe Hancock.
How are we going?
Good, mate. How are you?
Oh, it was panic stations last week, wasn't it? I don't think the Daily Dribble crew has been as flat as last week. It was disappointing.
Very flat scenes.
Got a whole episode out and, you know, as always, technology fails us, but we're back.
A podcast, they say. It'll be fun. Anyway, we're suckers for pain. So here we are once again, also joining us, Mr. Lee Hancock. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Look at us.
Look at the equipment. The equipment is electric. You can't see it here. We are hooked up. The Rodecaster Pro, three new mics, headphones, all systems go, recording on a new platform. So we hope for any of our video listeners out there, the quality is a lot better. The energy is electric here.
I mean, we've gone from 0 to 100 in terms of equipment. We haven't gradually bought it in. We've kind of just thrown it all in at once. And that's because you really do need the Rodecaster to kind of set everything and tie everything together. But
not that we're sponsored by Rode or Rodecaster, but yes. Goodness me, their equipment is phenomenal, isn't it?
Like
we've had nothing but good things to say about this Rodecaster Pro. Any podcasters looking to, you know, take it to the next level, definitely
in
worth
fairness,
investing.
Just looking at the actual video, I think we look better on the video than we do in real life, don't we?
You could argue that.
But it's after a little hiccup, as we said, we've got a big episode. Last week we just, you know, we kind of touched on our All-Star reserves.
Yep.
So what we'll do today, the All-Star teams were officially announced, so we'll get into that in odds and ends. We're then going to go into, for NBA fans, it really was the equivalent of Christmas this week. NBA trade deadline, it never fails to deliver, so it's been an absolutely massive week. We're going to discuss and break down all the major trades that went down, give our thoughts on them, and just kind of assess who was the winner and loser in each trade.
Yep, very keen.
Before we get into it, though, we've got some quick housekeeping points. I'll rattle through them. Just a big shout-out to the Spotlight Sports Network. Stoked to be a part of what is probably the best up-and-coming sports network going around. You know, your one-stop shop for everything NBA, NFL, just sports in general. The crew they've assembled is really at the top tier of sports podcasting and video recording. So we're very, very excited to be a part of them. We do have some exciting news dropping during the week. I won't mention it too much, but we've got an exciting announcement coming during the week. Hopefully going to be a real key for us in growing. Another little partnership, which is we're super excited about. So we'll touch on that during the week. Be sure to stay up to date with all of our socials, guys. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok. Subscribe wherever you listen to the show. We certainly appreciate your continued support. The last point, though, if you want to look as fresh as we do on screen at the minute, you need to go to one place.
Look, Manscaped. When I've been checking out Manscaped, I was a bit skeptical to begin with because it is plastered everywhere as the, you know, best men's grooming, you know, facility and product of all time. I mean, I'd go as far to say that that's how it's portrayed. And now I understand why. Ever since getting the lawnmower in particular itself, my expectations have just gone through the roof in terms of what this brings. I think the main thing for me is how it doesn't nick you. That's a big thing for me. That's key. But this is, you know, state-of-the-art technology. But
nothing worse than a cut on your balls.
There's nothing worse than that. And razors give you that. And this doesn't. I think this is underrated, though.
This is my favorite product.
The bowl deodorant. This stuff smells phenomenal. I want to put in like a petition to have this as deodorant.
Fragrance.
Absolutely. Like this is the you know the
Lawnmower 4.0, the staple piece in the Manscaped collection.
Meat and potatoes of the collection.
But this is an underrated thing. Manscaped, can you please form this into an actual deodorant because it is amazing.
Well, we're feeling mighty fresh, aren't we? We're all looking fresh. We're smelling fresh down below. You know, we won't show you the actual results, but I've never felt better. My balls are in absolute top shape.
As good of a shape as they've ever been, I would have
Yours,
thought.
Ro, looking fresh?
Oh, absolutely. Smelling fresh, looking fresh, but what's new?
Well, you know what the key is. If you want to look and feel and smell as fresh as we do. The key is to hit that little link just there. Go to the link in our bio, manscaped.com.au. Use our code DRIBBLE20. You'll get 20% off as well as free shipping. It really is a game changer. I know for myself, this is, you know, if you look good, you feel good.
Yeah. And we're sleek men ourselves. The podcast is a sleek podcast. Everything about Manscaped is, you know, the epitome of sleek. From the packaging, I was so surprised how sleek it was. The actual product itself, the Lawnmower 4.0, that's, look how sleek that is.
Game changer.
And also even the charging port, that's as sleek as it gets. I'm so happy with the products we've got.
Guys, join us at manscaped.com.au. Use our code just below DRIBBLE20 to get 20% off and look and feel as fresh as the Daily Dribble team.
Absolutely.
Beautiful, guys. Big episode in store. We've got a quick couple of odds and ends to get through. We're going to rip through it pretty quickly just for the pure fact I want to spend as much time as possible on these trades. So the first little point here was in regards to All-Star or the All-Star reserves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And during the week, we had our replacements made for Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. None other than LaMelo Ball and DeJounte Murray. How do we feel about this just quickly, lads? Were we quite surprised or quite happy with these selections?
For how big of a snub they both were, I was surprised they both got in because I thought they were just going to be like, they're just not making it this year. But they're without a doubt, you know, the most deserving for those two backup spots. I remember seeing the video of LaMelo Ball courtside getting the call, I'm assuming from Adam Silver, and biggest grin on his face. I couldn't be happier as a Hornets fan, especially. Yeah.
No surprises, Ryan.
I'm in the same boat. We look a few weeks back, and I actually wanted DeJounte Murray to get into the All-Star game starting spot, but wasn't to be. And luckily, he's been given a gig. But it's not really lucky at the end of the day because he has had an outstanding year. And in my opinion, I think he's more than deserves a spot in the All-Star game. So happy to see them both there.
Well, we'll tie that in with the fact that the All-Star teams were officially unveiled yesterday.
Yeah.
What I'll do, I'll rip through the teams. You guys give me your thoughts on them.
Yeah.
Right. I won't mention the players that are injured.
Yes.
I'll just mention the teams that will be playing. So Team Durant will consist of Joel Embiid, Ja Morant, Jason Tatum, Andrew Wiggins, and Trae Young as the five starters. In the backups, we'll have LaMelo Ball, Devin Booker, Rudy Gobert, Zach LaVine, Chris Middleton, DeJounte Murray, and Karl Anthony Towns, rounding out Team Durant.
Right.
Okay. Team LeBron consists of LeBron, Giannis, Steph Curry, DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Jokic as the starting five. Your reserves will be Jimmy Butler, Luka Doncic, Darius Garland, James Harden, Donovan Mitchell, Chris Paul, and Fred Van Vliet. So, just based off that, who do you guys have as having the better team? Who is your pick in this game?
I'd almost say it's a no-brainer, to be honest. I don't know if you'd agree with me, but Team LeBron's team is absolutely stacked.
The ultimate GM. He doesn't get it wrong. He's just a next level. Like, he does this for every franchise he goes to, like Miami, Cleveland, Lakers. Yep. He's the GM.
Yeah.
So it seems only logical that he's going to come in and crush it when he's doing this.
I mean, you look at, you said he's, so LeBron, you've got LeBron to start with, then you've got Steph, and then you've got Giannis as well. And then
DeRozan and Jokic is your
starting
five. And then you've
got the Joker. But then you've got Luka coming off the bench. They've got like three out of the top four MVP runners.
Just as starters, let me rip through them. So Durant, you had Embiid, Morant, Tatum, Wiggins, Trae Young.
Yeah.
Fantastic in their own right. But then you're coming up against LeBron, Giannis, Curry, DeRozan, and Jokic.
Do
you feel the same?
Oh, absolutely. LeBron does this every year, doesn't he? Like, for some reason, we know they're all fantastic players. They're all stars, so they have to have a bit going for them. But when it comes
Are they all stars? The clamoring of Andrew Wiggins' selection?
Well, technically they are this year.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we look at every year and LeBron seems to pick the better team. What I will say, though, is that bench is heavy on guards on LeBron's team.
Has he got a lot of guards? Well, he doesn't actually have a big man in the bench category.
Yep.
Although you've got Jokic and Giannis, you know, once they stagger the minutes a little bit. Who cares about big men and defense in this, though?
Yeah.
Like, what really got me, though, was the last selection.
Yeah.
Coming down to Rudy Gobert, James Harden, KD with the pick. And he just couldn't do it.
He couldn't
bring himself to pick Harden. We'll touch on that shortly throughout the show. But I found that quite an enjoyable moment
It was funny, but it was a logical pick as well, I think. Because he said, how am I going to stop like Giannis and Jokes?
Well, he's got Kat there as well.
Yeah, right? But you need, you know, the defensive player of the year.
KD has such a good poker face as well.
Yeah,
did not give anything away.
Did you see when Ernie was like...
when are you coming back?
Yeah, he was like, when are you coming back? Can you give us a rough timetable? And KD was just like, no.
Well, fellas, we don't have long to go. February 20th, we'll have All-Star Weekend there in Cleveland. Yep. A lot to look forward to. I know we haven't had a chance to discuss the three-point competition, dunk competition, et cetera, et cetera. We did do a little bit on that on last week's cancelled episode, so we won't touch on it again.
Yep.
We will do a All-Star Weekend recap, so we're looking forward to that in about a fortnight's time. But, yeah, so All-Star Weekend coming up thick and fast. Another piece of news from myself here, guys. Bradley Beal, he looks set to be out for the remainder of the season after deciding to undergo season-ending surgery on his left wrist. Yeah. You know, the Wizards are just in such a funny position. They've gone from hero to zero real quickly. And to be honest, it almost coincided when Beal came back. They were sitting top of the East whilst Beal was out and looking quite formidable, playing really good team ball. Certainly not bashing on Beal, you know, but, you know, it did kind of coincide with their slip. So hopefully now they've made a couple of trades. Again, we'll touch on shortly. They can kind of rectify their season, get it back on track.
Yep.
But here's the equation they've got. He's eligible for a five-year, $245 million contract extension.
Goodness
me. If you're the Wizards, are you doing this, or are you letting him potentially walk for free at the end of next season? What are you doing?
It depends on what his thought process and headspace is at the time. If he's not committed and if he wants to leave, look, I'm letting him leave and I'm bringing back some pieces.
Well, you're not going to get any pieces if you just let him walk for free.
I mean, I don't want someone on my team that doesn't want to be there. That's what I'm saying.
He was in trade rumors. Nothing was done with Bill. So I don't think anyone's really going to probably look to him in the offseason just because he's injured as well. You know, if we hold out for another season, we could get him free. So, you know, it is a real funny predicament. The Wizards either have to go all in and commit to him for the foreseeable future and then some, or do you kind of, you know, look to the future a little more so? It's a funny predicament, isn't it?
If you're the Wizards, you're thinking, is this the guy who is going to lead us out of the dark that we're in at the moment and into potentially championship contention? Yeah. I wouldn't have thought so. I love Bradley Beal. I think he's a, you know, as we've seen, he can be a 32, 33-point-a-night player for a whole season. But it doesn't necessarily, you know, equate to wins and team success.
It seems like their ceiling with him at the helm is a 500 team.
Yep.
And if you're going to pay that much money for your star player, that's not really good enough return. So, yeah, very interested to see how that plays out with that situation there. Fellas, do you have anything else from the NBA odds and ends?
No.
Something from the NBL, Nick?
Oh, I'm not really going to speak too much on the NBL, just for the pure fact that we'll touch on it again more next week. I want to spend more time on the trades. But I just wanted to make one little note here. The Jack Jumpers are currently on a four-game win streak. They are rolling. They're currently sitting in the top four within the league. They're, you know, starting to get pretty close on the tails of the South East Melbourne Phoenix, who they play Sunday or Monday, it is, I believe. So looking forward to that. A big, highly anticipated bout, that one. But, you know, it's exciting times here. As you know, Tasmania's starting to build a little momentum. All the people are starting to come out in full support. And they're doing well after being bashed and, you know, kind of almost disrespected going into the season, thinking they'd be a bottom-of-the-table team. They are sitting in the top four. If the playoffs started today, they would be in there. So very excited about what they're doing and achieving. And hopefully that can continue with a big game against the Phoenix over the next couple of days.
Absolutely. Yeah, the culture they've built over at the Jack Jumpers already is unreal. It takes a long time to build culture, but I feel like at this point they're well on their way to, you know, being a successful team in the future.
And as you know, everyone knows who watches this podcast, that I'm not really, really involved in the NBL as much as I probably should be. But from what I've seen and what the culture that the Jack Jumpers has actually built, it's quite amazing for the short time they've been in the league. I remember when they were choosing the name, there was a selection of names that they could have chose from.
This got uproar.
When we saw they chose the Jack Jumpers. We're like, what is this? And why have they gone for this name? But the like story they've built around it, how our arena is like the ant farm, and how we're like small, but we pack a big punch, just like Tassie's a small state, but we pack a big punch. I really like how they've marketed the team and how they've built a culture through the players and the also the fans. Farm. Oh, what's it? What do they call it?
What do they call it? The ant hill or the ant nest or something? Yeah, the something. Ant farm.
What is it?
Imagine that going on a farm and you're just ant breeding farm. Ants at the absolute.
No, that one. Oh,
by the boat. Like, I like it, Lee. Yeah. Very good, fellas. Let's move ahead to our NBA trade deadline recap.
The Daily Dribble.
I tell you what, how fun is it having a soundboard? I almost just want to hit the buttons just for fun
just
here.
Just for the sake of it.
It's awesome. Leveling up. Guys. A lot of trades to get through. What we're going to do here, we're going to discuss some breaking down, probably the bigger trades, discuss a little more in-depthly. Mm-hmm. We would love to hear from you guys out there what you think of the trades, if we're on the right track, what your thoughts are on any of the trades, the winners, the losers. We love to hear it. You guys make the show, so we really appreciate hearing any of your comments.
Yep. Throughout the before the trade deadline, there were 15 trades made. There were 22 teams involved. There was 56 players traded, and there was 24 draft picks traded.
How's that? Around that?
Bloody oath, that's some in-depth stat diving there, Lee. Fair play, mate.
22 out of 30 teams. It's not a bad gig.
Well, let's start with the first trade that went down the other day. The trade being the LA Clippers received Norman Powell and Robert Covington, and Portland receiving Eric Bledsoe, Justice Winslow, Keon Johnson, and a future second-round pick. How do we feel about this trade, lads?
I just want to hear from Ro, in terms of the Keon Johnson bit to start with, because you're high on Keon Johnson, right?
Oh, I mean, he was one to watch coming into
the
season.
The fuck is that guy?
I thought
he was one of Ro's prospects.
He was a prospect prior to the season. Yeah. To be honest with you, he hasn't caught my attention that much as the season's gone on. But, you know, my gut reaction to this was that the Clippers were big winners. Getting rid of Eric Bledsoe, who I'm not high on Eric Bledsoe.
No, not anymore, at least.
I don't rate him, and I don't. Yeah, I think they've done well to get rid of him. But also to pick up Norman Powell. Now, I don't know if you guys watched the Clippers' last few games, but particularly in Norman Powell's first game, he was lighting it up. He could not miss.
He's had a bit of a hit and miss season, but it really, he's one of the best 3-point shooters in the league. What he can do on a nightly basis and bring this team is massive.
And then
it is massive.
To also get Roko as well, who's a 3-and-D type player, looks like he's fitting in quite well.
Needed a change of scenery, he did as well.
Oh, he did. I always feel like it's quite handy when you get two guys from the same team who are traded to the same team. They've already got that chemistry and they feel a bit more comfortable. Clippers for mine, huge winners out of that one.
They're a really scary proposition going forward, the Clippers, just for the pure fact. Like, they're more than holding their own at the minute. You add Norman Powell, Robert Covington to that team with Kennard, Marcus Morris, Reggie Jackson, Zubac. They've got plenty of depth. That's without, they're a good team as it is. You add in Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. It's just disgusting. It almost feels very reminiscent of that Clippers team from a few years ago before they brought in the two superstars, that underdog team that really was just, all heart.
Yeah.
I am really worried about the league when those two come back. Mm. They're a scary team.
Let me just say, in terms of the Portland Trailblazers part of it, it's obvious now that the Portland Trailblazers have gone down the path of they're going to rebuild around Lillard, and that seems evident. Now, at first glance, obviously this trade seems preposterous, and it's like, why would you trade away Norman Powell, who's shooting 42% from three, and like you said, the great 3-and-D playing Roko for a couple of bums? But are we and no disrespect on those guys, but
how can you say no disrespect if you call them bums?
I know, but at first glance, obviously it looks bad. Are we though confident in you're not confident in the Portland's head office to rebuild around Dame?
Mate, we'll touch on that shortly soon with another massive trade that went down involving the Blazers, but they've given away two of their best assets in Powell and Covington for what? For a bag of beans. They got a second round pick.
There's so much that goes on behind the scenes, with cap space and stuff that I don't understand.
The only thing that this does is shed a bit of salary, get them back towards getting under the luxury tax, which is good if you're not going to be a playoff team. It will help them, though, with shedding the salary and able them to sign Anthony Simons to a big contract extension.
He deserves it.
He does deserve it. Being phenomenal. And that's the route they're looking to go. But I really think for two of their best trade assets, could have done a lot, lot better. I'm pretty disappointed with this. And if I was Dame, and if you're sitting there in Portland thinking, all right, I'm giving my heart and soul, they're going to build around me, and this is the kind of the starting pieces, because Portland's not a destination. No. They're not a big free agent catch. They're not going to attract players even if they've got the space. I was pretty disappointed by the start to their offseason, and it didn't get any better. So, yeah, overall, I really think the Clippers, big trade. Good start for them.
Yep.
Really, Stevie Ballmer would be there licking his lips. It's been a rough last year or two with this Kawhi PG experiment, but things are trending in the right direction.
Yep, absolutely. Huge trade to start off.
Second trade that went down here I've got was the Indiana Pacers receiving Ricky Rubio, a protected 2022 first-round pick, a 2022 second-round pick, and a 2027 second-round pick. So a couple of picks there and Ricky Rubio. Cleveland received Caris LeVert and a 2022 second-round pick. So how do we feel about this one? Essentially, a couple of picks going either way, more so Indiana getting Ricky Rubio and LeVert going to the Cavs.
Well, Roe was talking about just before with Norman Powell and Roko going to the Clippers, that chemistry. You've already brought the chemistry of Caris LeVert and then Jared Allen when they used to be on the Nets. So I really like that. Yep. I think the Cavs sealed the deal after Caris LeVert dropped like 42 when he was still on the Pacers. So I think Caris LeVert has the potential to be a high volume shooter wherever he goes. And that's what he's for. He's a shooter, but I want to see a bit more consistency from him. I'd rather him have constant, say, 18 to 20 point games rather than a couple of 10 point games and then a couple of 40 point games.
Well, let me pose this to you, and I'll pose it both to you.
Right.
From what you've seen from the Cavs roster, from what they kind of need, do you think that LeVert would be better off the bench? And which it looks like he could be coming off the bench at the minute with the way their team is. Do you think it would be awesome? You know, they need a little bit of ball handling responsibility from him. But if you bring him off the bench and just let that guy cook, because we've seen him explode before multiple times. If you give him free license off the bench, what do you think?
Yeah, well, he's had that responsibility at the Nets before, hasn't he? So he knows how to play that role. To be honest with you, initially when this trade first went through, my first thought was, okay, starting at the two, and Colin Sexton looks like he's on his way out of Cleveland.
Yeah, he's not gone.
How good's their roster? Good's their roster? And they've still got that, you know, quite a big trade piece there.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. And I think now the fact that they've got a bit of extra depth coming off the bench in Caris LeVert, I'd love to see him come off the bench. As your second string point guard, he's going to
you bring in a second unit with him, Rondo, Kevin Love, Seti Osman.
Rondo.
Playoff Rondo, look out.
I heard a story how Rondo called Darius Garland to the back of the bus, and he watched the whole film, a whole game of film with him. And Darius Garland was like, no one's ever done that with me before. Mm. It just goes to prove how good of a leader
he is. Whether he's playing or not, you need locker room guys, and you need someone with that experience to actually nurture these young guys. And that's phenomenal. It really, like, his value. Like, that is his value. He's not going to be getting a whole heap of game time or doing much with that game time, but it's what he's doing off the court. So, so beneficial, and especially to a player like Garland.
Yeah,
him and Rondo, Garland probably scoring a bit more, but very, very similar in their facilitating ability. So
In terms of the Ricky Rubio bit, let's just touch on that for a bit. I think he's also pretty valuable wherever he goes, but I really hope he can flourish like he did at the Cavs.
Well, I think this, just back on the Cavs, was a wicked move. His deal was expiring, and they really turned it into something. Mm. For the Pacers, you know, it just sends them, and again, we'll mention them shortly, sends them headfirst into their rebuild, get quite a few draft assets back, and starts to build that chest for the next couple of years, that asset chest.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is what we want to see, though. We want to see them making moves towards.
Don't want to be middling. And that's we've used the word mediocre for so long, which is what they have been. So if they're committing, you know, to either go for it or bottom out for a year or two and rebuild, fair play. You can't be angry at them for that.
No, agree.
Next trade, gentlemen. Speaking of the Pacers, the Pacers receive Tyrese Haliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson. The Kings received DeMontis Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb, Justin Holiday, and a 2027 second-round pick.
Most shocking trade by far, you'd have to say.
So, I mean, who's going to tear into the Kings first?
I was tearing into them a lot more the other day before I saw them play against the Wolves. You know, I tell you what, Sabonis looked pretty awesome in his debut there.
Yes, he did.
In saying that, I was pretty annoyed at this trade.
Yeah.
Just for the fact, I think if you're a Kings fan, Halliburton has been a shining light. Mm-hmm. I really think the piece to get rid of would have been Fox.
Yes.
You know, and just the defense is what concerns me. You know, as the Kings, it's been their concern for the last couple of years. You're bringing in, you know, for all that Sabonis is, he's not a real great rim protector.
No.
You know, and you're really sacrificing arguably one of the, probably the most highly regarded young guards in the league at the minute. Mm-hmm. I think Halliburton, I'm super high on him. I am in my rookie of the year last season. Mm-hmm. Fox has really had an ordinary season. So he was the big piece that I think you could have got rid of.
Yeah.
You know, so
Torres, as we've heard in his, he had an interview the other day. He wanted to be there, and he gave everything to that franchise.
Homegrown guy picked. Yep.
Who wanted to play in Sacramento? Torres Halliburton. Who got traded? Torres
Halliburton. Looks like he wants to play in Sacramento.
No, he looks like he'd prefer to be anywhere else. To be
the big hug he had with Sabonis at the end of their win over the Wolves the other day was a good sign, though. Mm. Yep. Hopefully that can, you know, build a little bit of chemistry and get things rolling.
I was just going to say, with what Tyrese Halliburton had done in what he's been in the league 2 years, he was on par for rookie of the year last year, and he's improved immensely this year, which speaks volumes. And the fact that he loved the city and he put so much trust into the organization, he's just not a player you trade if you're the Sacramento Kings. It just goes to show, and it's really shone a light for me, that no one's safe ever in the NBA, and there's always the possibility to be traded.
As you know, as not ideal as the Kings' situation is at the minute, they haven't made the playoffs in absolute eons. Mm-hmm. Despite that, he's a guy who wants to be there. Mm-hmm. How flat would you be being traded to Indiana? We've just mentioned, good on them for going into the rebuild, but he is now one of the focal points of that. And it almost seems a little bit redundant having Brogdon and him. Very similar players. They are like almost identical in what they do. Tyree's a little bit better on the catch and shoot, but they are very similar players. So I just don't know how that's gonna gel.
You would have to give the keys to Tyrese Halliburton going forward, though, wouldn't you?
Would love to see in maybe the off season or whatever the case may be, potentially even dive deeper. Let's try way around. Dive deeper into the rebuild and look to offload Brogdon.
Yeah.
He could still fill a role as one of the main guards for a team. But, I mean,
each president has their term, don't they? And I reckon
what is it, 4 years? It's a term over there? Four years. There you go.
Tyrese Halliburton, for any fantasy nuts out there, would be the type of player who on your team would be an undroppable player.
Yes. Mr. Consistent.
Yep. You cannot even think about dropping him. And they've just disregarded him like he provided absolutely nothing to their team over the last few years, which is as far away from the truth as you can possibly get. So that was as Lee said, that was probably the biggest shock of the draft.
Lee?
Winners and losers? Winner. Is this what we're doing?
What have you got?
Because Sabonis is a great player and I like how they picked him up, but it's not what they needed.
What's their ceiling, though? So they seem to be, you know, they're a few games outside the play-in at the minute.
They can probably make it to the play. Right now, they can probably make it to the play-in.
You reckon?
They will probably lose in the play-in, but if they get into the playoffs, they're a first-round exit.
That's a play-in's probably a win for them, given how long it's been since their last playoff appearance. Going forward for next season, like just almost, you know, this season, it is what it is, given their start.
Yeah.
Do you think this core now of Fox, Davion Mitchell, and Sabonis can actually go somewhere?
Well, I don't have a heap of faith, to be perfectly honest with you. I still don't think that De'Aaron Fox is a long-termer for Sacramento. I know he did look happy the other day after they got their win, but I don't see him being a long-term player for Sacramento.
Tell you who cooked in that game, Harrison Barnes. That boy was bowling.
My fantasy looked good.
Yeah.
Do you reckon De'Aaron Fox likes being the prominent guard on that team now that they've gotten rid of a few of their other guards on that team.
They had an abundance of guards.
They did have a heap. And even though they all played different roles, I feel like De'Aaron Fox, to a certain extent, loves being the go-to guy.
Yep. I think he loves seeing his bank balance each week, given they gave him a massive extension. So,
absolutely.
Nevertheless, we'll move ahead to the next trade, lads. We've still got quite a few to go. Yep. So the next one, back onto the Blazers. They received Josh Hart, Thomas Satoransky, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Didi Lazada, a future first-round pick, and two second-round picks, with the Pelicans receiving CJ McCollum, Larry Nance Jr., and Tony Snell. Mm. So for this one, again, it was just a deal where the Blazers have made plenty of cap space.
Yeah.
But you've, again, what have you really got out of this deal? Like, we'll speak, in, like, it looks even worse given what they. We will mention again in a moment, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who was also dealt in a further trade. Like, it looks pretty ordinary once you put that with it as well. So they've given up one of their franchise stars in CJ for essentially Josh Hart. I think Satoransky get moved on as well. A future first round pick and two second round picks. Like, they've really, all their trades are just head scratching.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, purely for what they got in terms of building around Dame. I know cap space is key. Mm. But these assets, like, let's list the assets there. Robert Covington, right. Norman Powell, CJ McCollum, Larry Nance, who I'm still quite high on, and Tony Snell. And you've got back probably the best player, excluding, like, was Nikhil Alexander-Walker and probably
Josh Hart. Josh Hart is underrated. It's not enough. And I have no notes for this one just because I am pretty speechless. And I don't...
And just, like, sorry, just quickly, just as you go into it, that that pick was protected top four as well.
Right.
So, which is in a draft that's meant to be pretty top loaded, you know, the Pelicans will still keep that pick if it's in the top four. So they could be real, real big winners.
Mm. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
And did we expect CJ to go to Pelicans? I certainly didn't see that.
I think we expected CJ to go, or at least I thought, and most NBA fans thought it was long overdue for either CJ or Dame to head out. Pelicans, though, it's a bit of a strange destination, but, you know, they've got a lot of offensive firepower now, particularly once and if Zion Williamson comes back.
Let's talk on them. Yeah. Let's talk on them. So you look at it now, with Zion coming back, you've got Brandon Ingram, Jonas Valanciunas, Zion, CJ, Devontae Graham. You've got a couple of pieces off the bench there, but just that as, like, your key kind of five players. That's pretty formidable. That's something now. They've got shooters. They've got interior presence in Valanciunas, who can stretch to the floor a bit, Zion. I tell you what, it's so hard. I've got a couple of mates who are Pelicans fans, and it's been a rough couple of years since they drafted Zion. Hopes were so high and dashed pretty quickly. But this, Lee, what do you think? This is a pretty strong team now.
Look, it's scary on paper, but in saying that, Drew Holiday, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Zion was scary on paper too. So I think it's entirely dependent on what the coaching staff can do and build in New Orleans.
Does this keep Zion happy then?
I think so. I think they've got a fair bit.
They've got enough players, enough pieces now that can, like, warrant him staying there.
Yes, I think so. But they really need to do something good with what they've got now.
They've done themselves a world of favors in terms of, you know, potentially keeping Zion once he comes back, because, you know, from all we've heard so far, Zion probably isn't overly happy being at New Orleans. Yeah. So I think they definitely needed to add a few pieces around him. I think they have the potential to be similar to the Charlotte Hornets in terms of excitement levels. So I think they've got players who put bums on seats.
Ask to grass,
that's right. And, you know, just having the offensive firepower is enough to attract people to watch the New Orleans Pelicans going forward. So I really like that from their point of view. Portland Trail Blazers, they're in a lot of trouble.
Well, let's go to the next trade, because we'll speak a little more on the Blazers, what they did with a few of those pieces that were traded. So this was a trade involving three teams. So the Jazz received Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Juancho Hernangómez, so the Jazz. Spurs received Thomas Satoransky and a second-round pick. So the Blazers have got rid of Alexander-Walker, Satoransky. They've brought in, the Blazers receive Joe Ingles, Elijah Hughes, and a second-round pick. Now, does this not make all these trades they've done look so much worse? Like, they've got a guy who's out for the rest of the season, 34 years old, and Joe Ingles. I love
Joe. I love Joe Ingles.
What you and I have debated about over the last few weeks, Lee. God yes. bless your little cotton socks. But, you know, they, so essentially in the CJ deal, looking at this now, you've essentially got Joe Ingles and Josh Hart as your key pieces. The CJ McCollum, essentially a couple of picks, whatever else, other pieces. But that's the nuts and bolts of it. Like, what?
It's just head scratching.
How flat would you be to be a Blazers fan over the last few days?
It'd be pretty flat. It is head scratching. I with all my will, hope that they can do something. I hope they have something planned in the background. But I can't, with what they've got, I just don't see how it's possible. It's almost like they've been dared to do it and they've just done it. You know, it seems like a punishment for losing something.
Yeah, there's a difference with the Portland Trail Blazers of, you know, getting rid of some of their key guys. So, like, we've personally spoken for ages about getting rid of either CJ or Dame, and I am glad they have done that. However, if you're going to do that, you need to receive compensation.
How good would a package, let's just say, of, say, CJ and Nurk looked for, like, a, I don't know what the piece is.
Not Eric Bledsoe.
Not Eric Bledsoe.
No,
exactly.
Not Bledsoe, no.
It just frustrates me. I guess on the Jazz front, getting Alexander Walker showed a lot of flashes. Still young. I think he'll be great in their bench depth there. I'm quite high on him, the Canadian there. I like what he can do. For the Spurs, Satoransky's handy in a second-round pick. Didn't have to give up a real lot at all. So fair play to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really got a second-round pick for doing nothing in this deal, which is awesome. So, yeah, the Blazers. Shit time to be a Blazers fan.
Yeah, poor Dame.
Next trade here was Detroit receiving Marvin Bagley.
Bagels.
Big Bagels. Oh, like he has moved on. The Clippers are receiving. This was a four-team trade, should I say. So Detroit received Marvin Bagley. The Clippers received Semi Ojeleye and Rodney Hood. Bucks received Serge Ibaka, two future second-round picks and cash considerations. And the Kings received Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Jackson and Trey Lyles Rowe. What have you got for me? Anything you want to talk about on this one?
I think the big winner out of this one, the Bucks getting Serge Ibaka just big. Adds to their we obviously big. Know their championship contenders
and
already.
They need a big man depth. If you saw the way that Ayton just monstered them in the Suns Bucks games the other day, until Brook Lopez comes back, they really, like, you know, Giannis can play it, but you don't want to be putting him through the, you know, bashing up against all these big Absolutely. Bodies before the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the
getting
one that
the Bucker is huge.
That's the one that stood out to me. Also, Marvin Bagley getting out of Sacramento, fresh start in Detroit, will get a starting spot, might, you know, start to reach his potential. Who knows? Like, we've been waiting for a long while now, particularly after, you know, the likes of Luka Doncic in that same draft and Trae Young have turned into superstars.
What did he go, second or third?
Who did he get taken before? One or the other. I can't
Disgusting.
Actually remember.
Disgusting.
But I really like that. Change of scenery, really hoping the best for Bagels.
And they had to with Sabonis coming in. He was kind of made redundant there. Lee, yourself?
I haven't got too much on it. I never really understood why the Kings didn't even give Bagels too many chances. He was always coming off the bench and only getting a few minutes. So hopefully a change of scenery can do wonders for him. But no, I haven't got too much on the trade.
That's fair enough. Another one we don't need to spend too long on here, but Toronto received Thaddeus Young, Drew Eubanks, a 2022nd round pick via Detroit. The Spurs receive Goran Dragic and a 2022 first round pick protected 1-14.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Spurs are buying out Dragic, so he'll be quite a few teams, I would imagine, would be interested in him, adding a veteran guard there to bolster their stocks.
Absolutely.
I saw a name rumored, the Heat, bringing him back to the Heat somehow.
Would love
to
see it.
Okay, but what's he doing right now?
He's not playing with the Raptors, which, again, it's just...
It's like personal issues or something, but, like, I haven't heard... He's off the grid.
Doesn't really move the needle that much. I think, though, for the Raptors, hopefully adding in Thaddeus Young, I think Drew Eubanks might have got waived. They waved Drew Eubanks.
Is that Ubi? Ubi from the Spurs? Why'd they wave Ubi?
I'm hoping by adding in Thaddeus Young, like, at the minute, Nick Nurse is essentially playing a rotation of like 7 to 8 guys. Guys are playing massive minutes, like just absurd, like beyond playoff minutes. So hopefully having another player there can slightly extend their rotation and just take a little bit of the pressure off some of those starters. Mind you, can I just say, the Raptors are balling at the minute. They're in a, I think, sixth at the minute, only a couple of games back of the top couple. They're in like a 6-7 game win streak, absolutely torching it. So you love to see it after a slow start to the season. I know I kind of wrote them off this year, but you know, there you go. Seeing is believing.
Go ahead.
A real quick one here. We don't even need to speak about this much at all. Might get your opinion on it, right?
Yeah.
Boston received a second round pick. Wicked.
Right.
The Magic received Bol Bol and PJ Dozier. Both players are out for the rest of the season.
Yeah. No comment on that one.
You know what? You're keen to see Bol Bol suit up next year, mate? Oh, a little bit of work in the off season.
I'd love to see Bol Bol out there, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, getting rid of PJ Dozier was a short return back to Beantown, but
really, it just clears a bit of money and you get a second round pick. So, you know, you can't be upset about that. Another move involving Boston. Boston receive Derek White.
Love that.
The Spurs receive Josh Richardson and a 2022 first round pick, protected 134, as well as Romeo Langford.
Now, that's huge for the Celtics, I think. I think Celtics get another really key role player, which is vital for team success, in my personal opinion.
Yep.
And getting rid of, who was it, Josh Richardson, who I think throughout the course of the season we've all been pretty underwhelmed with. Yes. Hasn't done a lot. Who was the other one that we got rid of?
Romeo Langford.
Romeo Langford, yeah.
Don't care.
A bit irrelevant, really.
Chips.
I think we've improved our team and got rid of a few guys who have been passengers throughout the year. So I was very happy. Brad Stevens did well with that one.
Good for the Spurs as well, I think, in needing that backcourt depth, adding Richardson.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully, again, like he has shown flashes. His time in Boston wasn't great. But no, if he can return to the form that he had in Miami, hopefully could be a handy piece. Lee, anything you want to add on this one?
No, not really. Don't really care.
Don't really care. Let's go ahead to what was arguably one of the biggest trades in the draft. It was the biggest.
If you're saying that James Harden won, it was the biggest.
It was the biggest. I've corrected myself.
By a country mile.
The Philadelphia 76ers finally landed their man. They got James Harden and Paul Millsap.
Yes.
The Nets received Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, a 2022 first-round pick unprotected, and a 2027 first-round pick.
Rightio.
So,
I'll start. I'm surprised at how much value the 76ers gave up after how stubborn they were throughout the whole season. They've given up Ben Simmons, they've given up Seth Curry and Andre Drummond essentially for James Harden. Like the Tyrese Halliburton one, I am shocked just with what they've given up.
So who would your winner be in this?
Winner is, I wouldn't say by a country mile, but it's the Nets. I think they're just getting so much more for what the Nets are giving. And James Harden is going to be great wherever he goes. And that duo between Joel Embiid and himself is going to be, in my mind, it's going to be electrifying. And I'm scared. I think they're almost finals bound with it. Yep. But yes, I think the 76ers gave up a bit too much.
Yep. Ooh, okay, Ro, your thoughts?
Look, I think it improves both teams, to be perfectly honest. I'm very glad I don't have to hear any more of Ben Simmons talk.
Oh, it's been going on for so long. It's
been going on for so long. I think Brooklyn actually wouldn't be too disappointed with this. Like, you're getting rid of an out-and-out, one of the best scorers of all time in James Harden, but you're getting back a lot of depth as well. Obviously, the Ben Simmons one is the big one, but getting Steph Curry as a bit more.
Steph who?
Not Steph.
Oh, what did I say?
I tell you what, if you got Simmons and Steph in a package, you'd be pretty happy.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on. But, yeah, getting Curry back and then also getting Andre Drummond, who's still one of the best rebounders in the game.
Two unprotected first-round picks as well is sweet first to add on to it.
Bloody first round as well.
Okay. Yeah, so
I don't think it super advantages one team over the other. I think it was both teams sort of got what they want. And goodness me, Ben Simmons, he'd be over the moon right now, considering the alternative was him going to an awful team, low market, small market.
Sacramento
team.
Was ruined.
Yeah, how good has he got that? I was just thinking he's just gone from not playing all season to being a championship contender. That's not fair.
And I suppose for Daryl Morey, though, it's, you know, perseverance has paid off. He was more than happy to play the waiting game and not settle for a below par package.
Sure.
And they got the guy they wanted. They got Harden. They might have had to, you know, I think this package might be slightly overs.
Yes.
But the fact is they didn't have to give up Maxi. They didn't have to give up Thibault.
That was the main thing. How good is it that they didn't have to give up either of those two?
For as good as a shooter as Seth Curry is, he's a little bit older. But you're hoping, which you will no doubt do, James Harden will fill that shooting void.
Yeah. Who have they got? Because apart from Andre Drummond was that second stringer center, and he was doing a great job in that role. Yeah. Who have they got now? That's all I'm scared of.
Bringing big Paulie Millsap. Is that what's his name? Isaiah Joe. They've still got. No, they don't have him. I'll have to have a look through their roster again for their center depth. It is a bit of a blow. Andre Drummond was fantastic in stopping Giannis, They've kind of lost the Giannis stopper there, and Beadle just have to shape up there. For the 76ers, Harden and Embiid, that is a scary proposition. You pose that alongside Tobias Harris, who's been better this season, Danny Green, who's been very hit and miss, but hopefully can return to a bit of form. Mm. You've got Maxi, you've got Thibault, you've got quite a good complement of good depth.
Yeah.
And James Harden, hopefully this reinvigorates him. He's probably going to be the number two guy again alongside Embiid. But Embiid's having a career year. He is probably favorite for MVP, you'd say.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the Nets, I really think the big worry with the Nets, though, is Kyrie Irving. Mm. When he's playing, when he's not. At the minute, they're in a plane. They've lost, is it nine in a row?
It's a lot. Yeah, I think it's nine or ten.
At the minute, they're sitting in a plane. If they had a do-or-die game at home in a playing game and Kyrie's not there,
you'd be concerned.
You'd be concerned because a lot comes back on KD. Mm-hmm. Simmons, hopefully. They've got such good shooters on this team. You look at Curry now, you look at KD, you look at Joe Harris when he comes back. Hopefully they stretch the floor and clear the lane for Simmons because he's still going to have an offensive output.
Yes,
he does.
I think both teams are probably – I wouldn't have either of them as favourites this year. I think it's going to take a bit of time to iron things out. Next year, I think it'll be better for both teams. But I still think – at the minute, I'd have the Bucks or the Heat in the East.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But just quickly, it's just stupid how good the East is this year. You look at the Heat, Bucks, Nets, 76ers, Cavs, Bulls, Raptors climbing, really formidable. The Celtics on a roll. Hornets have slipped a little bit, but you wouldn't want to play them.
No, you wouldn't.
There's a lot of good teams in and around the mix at the minute.
Yes.
Oh, God. There's only probably five games between... What, first and
10?
Yep.
That's unbelievable. It's as competitive as it's been in a long while.
Do we think the Nets will get out of the plane and get into a playoff spot?
Oh, yeah. I think
if they've got all the players back at the right end of the year, and they'll still make a good run at it. But at the moment, it's quite unpredictable as to whether they will have their key guys back. But, getting Ben Simmons into that team with a few extra depth players.
We don't have to hear about it anymore.
Oh, lovely.
Aussie pride. Fellas, next trade. Indiana received Jalen Smith and a future second round pick. Mm. The Phoenix Suns received Torrey Craig. There you go. We can move on from that one.
Cool.
Good one. Electrifying.
I just wasted 7 seconds.
Charlotte received Montrezl Harrell. The Wizards received Ish Smith and Vernon Carey. Lee, what have you got?
I mean, this is what we've been begging for. We've been begging for a big man. I don't know if Harrell was. I mean, I'm happy with Harrell. I'm happy with Harrell. He's not an all-star center, but it's going to be interesting to see if that was the final piece of the puzzle, to see if all we needed was a center.
He's not the right center for you guys, though. He's not a rim protector, which you guys need. So you've essentially gone the Kings route. You guys are just going to put up 150 every night and hope you outscore the other team.
I'm excited to see the duo between – we've already got LaMelo and Bridges, but LaMelo and Harrell now I think will be scary.
Off the bench, he's just an energy guy, though. I'm scared for your defense still. I really think you guys might have missed a trick. In fairness, you didn't really have to give up anything.
I was going to say, I love Ish Smith. I think he's very underrated. I think he's one of the best backup point guards in the league, to be honest.
He's high on Ish.
I love Ish. I'm sad we gave him up, but I don't hate it.
Well, what do you reckon? Are you going to go back to being a Wizards fan now with Ish Smith there?
No, I'm not. I just wish we picked up someone. I would have loved Miles Turner, but I'll settle for Harrell for now.
For now. Well, there you go. Another quick trade here. Oh, did you want to touch on that one? Sorry,
not really. No.
I'm guessing you probably won't want to touch on this one either.
Right.
The Suns just making moves around the edges. They received Aaron Holiday. The Wizards received trade exceptions and cash considerations.
Oh, I love trade exceptions.
They're my favorite too.
Yeah, but you're making
moves around the edges, the Suns. Just flying under the radar. They're in a pretty good position at the minute, so I don't need to move the needle too much.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a two to go here, lads. Dallas received Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans. Washington received Kristaps Porzingis and a future second round pick.
Make of it.
Oh. I'll go first. I'd love to be proved wrong, but I feel like the Mavs are the biggest losers, not only of this trade, but of the whole trade deadline, to be honest.
Really?
I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans, respectfully, are having stinkers of a season. They're playing awful. And to give up KP, who, I mean, he wasn't doing a heap, but he was still valuable to him. Yeah, I think they're losers. Okay, what do you think? That was my feelers. I thought we would be all on the same page.
No, I think they needed more ball handling. That has been evident for so long. Yeah. You look at the playoffs, it's all been just Luka having to carry the load. Yeah. Getting Dinwiddie, for as ordinary as he's been this season, hopefully he gives Luka a bit of an outlet, takes a bit of the pressure off. They needed more shooting around Luka. Bertans, again, as ordinary as he has been this season, he has that ability to just catch fire.
Yes.
So, and I really think having two of those smaller contracts is a lot easier to move on from than moving Porzingis. That duo has kind of run its legs. Yeah. There's still the concerns about health with KP.
Yes.
You know, the only thing I worry about now for the Mavs is their big man stocks. You're looking at Kleber,
Dwight Powell.
White Power, Big Bobby, you know, so there's a little bit of concern there, but I think the ball handling will really help Luka. Brunson's been great, but I'd love to see him in that off the bench role again to kind of coordinate the second unit. So I worry about the Wizards. Like
I just don't know where they're going.
As we said at the start of the show, you're looking at either giving Bill the absolute boatload. And you've got a big, big contract in Porzingis. You're pretty much either going to commit to those two or how far is that going to take you?
I mean, it's hard to build a culture, and it's then hard also to build a direction and a path for your team when your main guy is injured and you don't know at the end of his healing process whether he'll still be on the team. It's hard to know where they go from here.
Well, if you're the Wizards. Just going to say quickly, if you're the Wizards, you should be taking note of what's happening in Portland right now as a warning of what happens if you don't make a decision as to what you want to do going forward, because things could end up very dicey for you and you could end up with Bill could be the only guy left there in the end. In my opinion, look, I'm super low on Spencer Dinwiddie, so I think if you're the Mavs, you're hoping that both Spencer Dinwiddie and Birdie Beadle bounce back to their absolute best and their potential. Because if you're getting what we've seen so far this year, which has been absolute rubbish from the both of them, then you're not happy at all. In saying that, Porzingis, yes, he's had injury concerns, but when he was out there, he was a 19-9 type player.
The idea of Porzingis is so much better than the reality. Like, it's so much better than the reality of what you get, because the idea of a 7-plus footer who can stretch the floor, who can handle the ball, who can just do it all is just ideal.
How did he get the name Unicorn just quickly?
Just because he's one of a kind. Like, he's just that rare.
Yeah, right.
But he's more become a horse. I thought it was stuck on bloody horn there.
I thought it was because you never see him. He's always injured.
Oh, I don't know. It's double meaning to it. I like it.
There you go, the old double-ended sword there. Last trade here is the Celtics receiving Daniel Tice.
Love this. Love it. Yeah. Yep.
And the Rockets received Dennis Schroeder, Enes Freedom, and Bruno Fernando. The Rockets have waived Enes Freedom. Again, could be a name that the Mavs maybe look to potentially sign, which I would be happy with that. Would be well worth doing. So this one was a little bit puzzling just for me in the Rockets sense. You know, Schroeder's on a great contract. He's going to play. He's going to help bring a little bit of stability. You've already got a guy on the bench who you're playing 40 plus million to.
Yeah.
Who's got veteran experience, who's I like him as a player still. Yeah. John Wall, why not give him game time? He's sitting there getting a paycheck each week for doing nothing. Yeah. Why not utilize him? Have him in a Rondo role, sitting at the back of the bus with Jalen Green and going through film. Get him on the court to just bark orders and help guide these players. I keep saying it, and I'm getting a bit annoyed at myself for bringing it up, but why are they not using him? Like, it seems just a waste.
He still provides immense value, and we saw that throughout the week when there was a potential trade of Russell Westbrook for John Wall. Putting those two in the same sentence, Lakers didn't end up taking that trade.
Can I say I'm super happy at that? Because it was Russell Westbrook in the 2027 first-round pick.
The first-round pick John Wall. Yeah.
Like, that was the huge part. Like, I'm so glad they didn't do it because it's really such a lateral move.
It is.
Yeah. And their trade asset chest is already pretty slim, so I'm glad they didn't sacrifice that first-round pick.
But I guess my point is to think that someone who's in trade talks with Russell Westbrook is sitting on the bench and earning that much money.
Not even sitting on the bench. He's straight up just not playing.
He's not there.
He's at home.
My only reasoning for it could be something going on behind the scenes, because there's absolutely no reason why he shouldn't be out on the court.
Well, how do you feel about this trade then? Do you feel like Roy, as a Celtics fan, getting big Tyce?
I love getting Tyce back. I was actually quite disappointed and quite upset when we got rid of him the first time around, but he gives his all. Like, he might not be the most talented
big man. Second coming.
He's rough. He might not have the best skill set of all time, but he's just what you want
rough
from
and tough.
One of you guys when you're trying to make him. Like, he'd be a great guy in the playoffs because he's going to give his all every night, and he doesn't have to be the main guy because we've got those already.
Indeed.
Can we talk real quick about the lack of trades, just really quick, and I'm talking how Russell Westbrook is still a Laker?
I think I'd like Nick's view on this, actually. What is your thoughts, Nick, on the lack of trades from the Lakers in general?
It's a funny one. I'm disappointed, and I think, like, they're 6 months too late. Mm. In the offseason, like, I think the move for Westbrook, again, it's one of those things that's good in theory, but it hasn't paid off.
Yeah.
There were moves in the wings for Kyle Lowry.
Like, do you remember the only reason they were not getting Kyle Lowry was because they didn't want to give up THT? They're like just saying, have him now.
And that ship sailed. They were so high on his value. He's not worth squat now. The only things they really had to package was potentially Westbrook, or it was Kendrick Nunn, Horton Tucker, and that first round pick in 2027.
Yep.
I
where would they be if they had Kyle Lowry right now instead?
I don't know how to. Like, you know, if you do a trade, you get in Lowry, no Westbrook, and you've probably still got a few of those players that went to the Wizards, like a Kuz or a Caruso to the Bulls. I need to recalibrate, I think, after All-Star break, my expectations for this team, because I really thought this year was title. Let's go. Big comeback year. I just, like, it's going to take an all-time performance from 37. Old guy LeBron James to pull them through. You know, they're in big trouble at the minute. Going forward, like, they've sacrificed all their assets. That's really the only pick they've got left for 2027, by which point LeBron's going to be 42. So, you know, I'm glad they held on to it. I am so thankful they didn't do the John Wall trade, but I'm just upset with where they're at.
It honestly put it into perspective, though, throughout the week. I wish I had a sound clip here, but when someone asked LeBron, do you think that your team is capable of getting on the level of, for example, a Milwaukee Bucks? Yeah. And he was as honest as it comes. He said, no, we don't.
He was like, is that what you want to hear? Is that the title for the next headline you want to hear? No, but I don't.
At the end of the day, he could have said yes, and he chose to say no. So he knows they're in a bit of trouble or a lot of trouble right now. And it's interesting to see how the rest of the season pans out, particularly if LeBron and AD both healthy. Can they work it out? Can they all get on the same page? Because the first half of the season's been extremely disappointing, particularly for uni.
It's very concerning. They've got a lot to work through. Hopefully that couple of weeks over, or that week or so, couple of days over All-Star break will just give them a chance to recalibrate, just get themselves set. You know, we saw what Russ did in the back end of last season with the Wizards, really turned things on and was goddamn on fire. So hopefully we get a little bit of that.
Look, I'm going to also say something which I wanted to mention. I do feel sorry for Westbrook and the hate he's getting, to be honest. I know he's playing bad, but it's so obvious to me that he's lost something that he once had. Mm. And that must be such a demoralizing feeling, just not being able to play the way you used to be able to play. I think we need to remember he's still human.
At the moment, he is the scapegoat for the Los Angeles Lakers, isn't he, though?
Yeah. He is.
Regardless of if they win, he doesn't get any credit. If they lose, he gets all the blame, which is quite unfortunate, really, because it's a whole team game at the end of the day. Poor Russ.
And really quickly, I just want to see, your thoughts on the lack of trades from the Golden State Warriors. I know they're sitting second in the West, but their big man role isn't looking too flash hot right now when they could have traded for someone like a Miles Turner.
Miles Turner was the name. I don't feel too bad. Wiseman should be coming back soon, I believe. Mm. Don't quote me on that. I think they've still got enough.
But is Wiseman enough to go up against, the Giannis's, the Aitons, the Jokic's of the playoffs?
I think he can do enough of a job and then leave it to the other scorers to carry everything else. I don't know. It's a funny year for them because I really think they're good enough to still contend as they are.
Yeah.
And they've still got heaps of assets. I think if it doesn't work in this this playoffs,
that's when they
look to offload potentially a Wiseman, a Kuminga, a Moody, and look to bring in another piece to really go for it next season. Once Clay's got a bit of time under his belt, get a full season, so I'm happy with where they're at.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Guys, it was a massive trade deadline. We had an absolute blast doing that. Let's quickly wrap things up.
The Daily Dribble.
Gets better every time.
the little transition sound
effect. We very love it. Subtle. It is very subtle. It has been a massive week, guys. After our hiatus last week, we loved being back, recording with some new equipment. We're still just tinkering around, playing with it a little bit, trying to iron it all out, but we're having an absolute blast. We do have some big things in the works over the coming week that we will announce to you guys. Super excited for everything that's coming. Coming into All-Star Weekend now, we're less than 2 weeks away. So looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, just quickly, three-point contest, dunk contest, or skills challenge, which one are you most looking forward to?
Probably the three-point challenge.
Right.
I saw Joshy Giddy's in the skills challenge. So
they've got a new format, three teams of three, and like a couple of different events.
I'll be paying close attention to that, actually.
Absolutely. Yeah, for me, it's always the three-point competition. I love watching shooters shoot. So disappointed that Curry won't go to defend his crown, but maybe for Zach LaVine, third time's a charm.
Yeah. Don't mind that.
Guys, be sure to stay up to date with all of our socials, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. We've got a big show in store next week. So I already got the wheels turning over for that one. Big shout out again to the Spotlight Sports Network. Stoked to be a part of it. Guys, Manscaped, use the link in our bio, Dribble20, for 20% off and free delivery. Join the Daily Dribble team and look and feel as fresh as we do. Till then, guys, love you. Bye.